I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 11th, 2026, and we had a tragic shooting in Canada, in northern BC. One of the places that people move to get away from the problems of the urban centers has been completely violated by an ideology that emanates from those urban centers, that emanates from the halls of governments, that emanates from the radicals we are enabling. I'm going to lean on my own words from last night pretty heavy because I haven't seen a reason to correct or update them as of this morning. I'm going to start here. Some people mean well when they do it, but we must stop. If you are a man, you are a man. If you are born a female, you are a female. We need to stop feeding delusions and restore clarity to language. This is in response to a lot of Canadian media having a problem identifying what this person actually was. A dude in a dress. That's what we're talking about. The Fatuist says, after all this time, Frank, I don't think they mean well at all. Maybe they don't mean well. But when people do this language thing, when you call a man a woman, when you call a he a she, or you call a she a he, you're committing treason against the language of English and common sense. And that upsets people, and people don't want to upset people. They're willing to throw away something so basic and fundamental as the clarity of language. Like, it's Orwellian, doublespeak, double plus good, all that nonsense that came out of Orwell. This idea of pronouns somehow superseding biological reality, we have to start there by reclaiming clarity of language. Now, what this leads to is, as I said last night, is this is what embracing madness does to a society. In many different veins, by the way. This isn't just one thing. We do this in a lot of different ways. Calling delusion a reality will never make reality of the delusion. And that's the problem. That's the source of friction. As I continue, it creates anger and friction. And now reality has been tragically torn asunder in the explosion of that false identity. So when you take somebody that's already mentally unwell, they're already hopped up on drugs, potentially SSRIs, hormones, you have no idea what kind of chemical concoction and what it's doing to their minds. They're already unstable. And then you're encouraging them at an official level that their delusion is reality. And the fact that that delusion cannot become reality creates a friction you can't do anything with. You can never become comfortable with it. The best thing for somebody that's having an identity crisis of this nature is that it self-resolves. I highlighted how I've known three separate young, tend to be female individuals who thought they were going to identify as male. It really came down to an attention issue. That's really what it all came down to. And they resolved. They embraced the reality of their female identity. They accepted themselves and accepted that you can play whatever role you want in society. You want to be a tradesman, you can go be a tradesman. You want to be, or sorry, a tradesperson. It's pretty bad in society when we can't even say gunman. We have to say gun person. We have lost it. We must restore the clarity of language. Everybody needs to take a vow, regardless of what anyone says, that a he's a he and a she's a she, and stop playing the language game. You're not being nice. You're not being polite. You're not honoring somebody's self-identity. If they want to do that, that's fine. It's up to them to convince us. If you walk into somebody and you don't recognize whether they're a he or a she, well, I guess they've done a good job, but the onus is not on society to reinforce that. At any rate, you create this friction, you create this imbalance, you create this instability. Every time you say, yeah, you're a girl, or yeah, you're a boy, every time you do that, you add another log onto the fire, and you get these explosions. They're happening all the time. That's why transtifa is it's a meme now. It's a tragic meme because the delusion, which we're feeding, that can't become real, then explodes and manifests as not just the 9 poor dead kids, but the 25 who are left injured. We don't even know the scale of their injuries. Their lives will be permanently impacted, at least on a psychological level. Why? Because the delusion exploded violently. And so now we have to move on to the next observation, and that is the CBC. So this is a quote directly off of an article I was reading last night. Officers believe they have identified the shooter, but said they will struggle to ever determine a motive for what has become one of the deadliest school shootings in Canadian history. An odd thing for the CBC to write so early into the process. Note the word ever. They're already, just hours after the news broke, they're already precluding that they're ever going to talk about motive. Why? Because the motive is self-evident, and you can see that the bureaucracy and the CBC, which are one and the same, are unifying around a political cause. If it's not the gun, then it's not politically useful. Now, you're already going to see calls. This is why we have to target people who have never shot anybody and take their firearms away. Meanwhile, the people on the street who have all the illegal firearms and use them illegally, because that's the other thing. Murder's already illegal, right? It's already against the law. It's also against the law for you to go into someone's safe that has legally, lawfully held firearms and take those firearms and commit a crime. All this stuff is illegal because the gun is an inanimate object. It's the hands that wield the firearm that determine what happens with the firearm. A firearm will sit in a corner, loaded and cocked, will sit in a corner for 100 years until it rusts out without ever firing unless somebody pulls that trigger. And so what we should be doing is examining the motive of the person and the mental state of the person and the ideology that drove the person to violence that pulled the trigger. Not examining the gun, but the person. And I already perceive in a lot of Canadian media a circling of the wagons because we cannot tell the truth about this delusion, about this reality. Further to that, again, CBC, why the wording suggests answers aren't coming. This is politicized coverage. But why? Why so early? He added that officials, and this is a quote from a CBC article, officials would look at the shooting in the days and weeks to come to see if there was anything to learn. It's already precluding that there, it's already putting out there that there might be nothing left to learn, that there might be no more to the story. And if you read the coverage, they still haven't said it. Now, I've got a bookmark saved. This is a National Post. Amy Eileen Hamm, two locals identified the shooter's family and claimed a trans-identified male son killed his mother and brother before going to school and killing more victims. Do you realize what I'm talking about here? Just the murder. It's. I have to try and maintain my composure. There's real lives. There's real people. There's real victims. While the media is circling the wagons to defend a political ideological stance, there's real people who are dead and shot. You know, if you think about that long enough, you'll get enraged, and you should. So at any rate, this is a National Post columnist and confirmed the alleged son's victim, the alleged victim's son identified as trans. So this is, you see, this is why when I've done coverage before about how the government is supporting media in this country, I know National Post has taken that lucre too, as far as I know, but they haven't completely sold their soul. They still do news. Same with Sun Media. They still do news. You might not like it all, but hey, if I pick up a copy of the Epoch Times and I read that, there's going to be things in there, words, in, like you read an article and you think their wording's not strong enough. They're trying to remain balanced. And I respect the National Post because they're not afraid to do this. While everybody else is circling the wagons. And it's the biggest ignorance. It's the biggest insult that they circle the wagons around a political point and they don't mind walking all over the bodies, which aren't even processed yet. They don't mind, instead of telling the truth, they want to frame it to protect this ideation, which is causing so much trouble. There's a reason why it self-resolves in most people that have it, because it's not real. And that unreality, saying it's real, has now undone reality, has now blown a great big gaping hole into that community, into those families, irreparably. You can't fix it. The important thing is not the ideology. The important thing isn't the politics. The important thing is getting to the bottom of what drives a person to pick up a gun and shoot completely innocent people and members of their own family. And thinking maybe, just maybe, we took a wrong turn 10 years ago in embracing this ideology. A final thing I posted last night, this would explain CBC's framing. Now, UConn Strong has deleted it, which was a claim. Basically, he was just talking about how this shooter was what this shooter was. I'm not sure why he deleted it. It doesn't matter. Coordinating with the bureaucracy to make sure that this gets framed the right way and that we cover up the mental instability caused by trans ideology wouldn't exactly be outside the norm of their journalistic standards. Now, what do I mean by that? The CBC is very politicized, and I think you can prove that. They carry the water of the state. They carry the water of the Liberal Party. They carry the water of that hand which funds them, and with the Conservative Party promising to tear them up and break them down, which they've done before, and when they had the opportunity, they didn't address this issue. They didn't address the Senate. The CPC is infamous for saying cool things and then never acting on them when they get in office. But I digress. It's the unification of the media effort to defend the ideology. That's why it's not media. And Arno Excellent points out that this is nothing new. Frank, look at how the Ecol Poly event gets remembered through a feminist lens of male-on-female violence that glosses over the Islamic undertones. This will become about access to mental health supports, but then the government will couple that with some sort of crackdown. Yeah, a crackdown on people who have never done anything wrong. That's the only thing they know how to do. They don't know how to deal with crime. They don't know how to deal with fixing an immigration system that lets criminals walk into this country without any oversight. They don't know how to fix, I guess they're trying to do bail reform. There's a secret, and this is interesting too, and I don't want to diverge down this path too much, but this memorandum of understanding that the Carney government, because that's what it is, it's Carney, it's not the Liberal Party anymore, it's Mark Carney Incorporated, has a memorandum of understanding on cracking down on crime with the Chinese, which nobody's allowed to have a copy of. Nobody can read this memorandum of understanding. It makes me wonder if there's actually a legitimate effort to deconstruct crime in this country, because up to this point, over the last 10 years or longer, it's been a lot longer than 10 years. Let me take that back right away. Decades, we have enabled organized crime to operate in plain sight. Part of the legalization effort when it comes to hard drugs, or to the decriminalization effort, or allowing public consumption of hard drugs and needle exchange programs and handing out crack pipes and all of the other insane stuff that we've done, is to enable the operation of criminal organizations in plain sight, because it benefits many of the people within the power structure of Canada. That's not just me saying it. I've pointed out in past videos how we're recognized the world over as a money laundering hub and as a drug exporter. And we should be doing something about that instead of harassing people who legally, lawfully own their firearms. But it's nothing new. It's all about framing. And it is sick to me watching David Eby, watching the RCMP, watching the media, everybody trip over themselves and cite in the initial press conference, or press statement, citing the need to protect privacy to not release this name. The alternative media has already nailed it. We already know who it is. So why would CBC pretend? Why does David Eby pretend? They're all pretending. The real media in this country is online. Real investigative journalism is online. Already telling the truth. Already showing you. Here's Right Angle News Network, the trans shooter who carried out one of the worst school shootings in Canadian history at Tumbler Ridge, killing 9, has been identified as 17-year-old. Gives the name. Heavy doses of SSRIs. I mean, it's all there. The pattern's there. Why are the media, why are the government, and why is the RCMP covering up the causes? If we can't talk about root causes, we can't solve the problem. And getting back to the original point that started this video, we got to stop with the language stuff. I don't care who you are. You're doing a disservice to humanity. If you're calling a biological male a female, you're not being nice. You're not being polite. You're denigrating the value of the language, and you're playing your part to cover up the damages being done by this ideology and its embracement. It's time to start restoring the value of biology. It's just the way it is, folks. If you're born a man, you're a man. If you're born a woman, you're a woman. And it's not on society. If you want to be perceived as the opposite sex, if that's really what you want, you want to be a cross-dresser, you want to be trans, it's on you to be successfully convincing of your case. It's on you. You know, we talk about this bathroom issue. there's always been a component of society that was like this. And they went into whatever bathroom they felt comfortable in. And if they committed an act against somebody, then we address that criminally. But the onus, the burden of proof is on the person who's doing the cross-dressing. If you want to be convincing, that's you. It's not up to us to kowtow through language and through our actions by claiming that unreality is reality. And I won't do it. I don't care. I will not do it. And at some point, we have to talk about the real damage, demonstrable damage. It's like we're building tension inside of these individuals by trying to encourage them to embrace something that can't be real and telling them it's real. They constantly run up against the fact that they can't make it real. And it doesn't matter how many knives, it doesn't matter how many pills, it doesn't matter how many chemicals. It will never become a reality. And eventually that tension snaps. Or they reach the age of 20, 21, 22, because honestly, you shouldn't even be thinking about engaging in any kind of transition until you're 25, until your brain has fully developed, let alone the age of majority. But you get to your 20s and you realize your parents failed you because they encouraged you in this direction. And that's the other thing. Where's the opposition on this? The CPC is so cowardly. They're so afraid of taking a tough stance on this and getting out in front of it because they might face a couple parents and their kid who directly accuse them. Because remember how entrenched this ideology actually is. Right here in Saskatchewan, we've got people in the legislature who are raising their kids to be trans. I was having a conversation the other day with somebody who said that the roots of the NDP in Saskatchewan, the independence movement, the idea of Saskatchewan as an independent country, could trace its roots back to the NDP and its predecessor under Tommy Douglas. And that's true. But there's a mistake being made in Saskatchewan that identifies today's NDP with the NDP of the past. The NDP in Saskatchewan was of a very different character. Someday I want to explore it because there was a particular brand of socialism that sprung up on the prairies. Its basis was rugged individualism and coming together out of necessity. Very different from the socialism that's developed at the federal level or in other nations across the world. It's worth an exploration. But these aren't the good old days. And the CPC has no moral courage. They don't want to actually have to face somebody and tell them that they made a wrong decision for their family, that they made a wrong decision for their kids, that they've made a wrong decision because of the political damage. At what point is enough enough? At what point do we just restore reality? Because it's waiting. It's right there. And it's not going anywhere. It doesn't matter how many laws you pass. It doesn't matter how many monuments. It doesn't matter how many flags you fly. Waiting for you on the other side of this delusion is the restoration of reality. And it starts with you. And it starts with me. It starts by not kowtowing to these delusional rules of language. I'm Frank Vaughn. Rest in peace, the victims of Tumbler Ridge. And I'll see you in the next one.